And I'm turning again to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 9. These very striking words, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Well, if ever we wanted anyone to memorise a text of scripture, I think this is a prime candidate for everyone to know and remember and understand, even if only just these first three words, not of works. If they were kept foremost in the mind, I think that would do it. Not of works. You know, sometimes when politicians or someone else is speaking and they want to make something clear, they say, read my lips, not of works. The trouble is that this is the very thing and matter that you would think was never written in the Bible, never written in the Word of God. Nothing could be plainer, nothing more memorable, nothing more decisive, nothing more crucial, and even crushing to the human mind than this, not of works. Friends, the subject of the apostle in this letter, in this chapter, and certainly in this verse, is salvation. The salvation of our souls. And among all the other things taught here, this is paramount. Salvation is not of works. You cannot work or do anything to earn salvation, eternal life, apart from anything else. This sets Christianity apart from all other world religions. Every religion that you can think of or study in some way or other says, do this. Do this and get your reward. Keep these rules and you will be okay. Do this work, go through this routine and you will be all right. Make sure you display these attributes. Pay up, some will say. Say your prayers. Make this pilgrimage. Well, for some, even murder non-believers in your religion. Whatever it is, do this and things will be fine. They are all religions of works. That religion and reward is of work. You do something to earn some sort of reward. You work your passage to heaven or to a better reincarnation, some will say, or a Muslim harem, whatever. But you must do something. You must do something to get there. You must work. So say all other world religions except Christianity. The Bible shouts at us. The Bible shouts at us. It screams at us. It constantly says, time and time again, not of works. Not of works. The salvation that the true and living God grants to sinners is not of works. Nor can we suppose that those of us brought up in the West with a society that has at least a Christian background, at least, well, certainly no more than that, but we are not to suppose that even those brought up in the church and have attended Sunday school regularly when they were little, or with even parents that believe these things, we cannot suppose that this gives us some sort of immunity from this inbuilt propensity to somehow believe that we can earn a place in heaven. We somehow believe that only God can save us. True, that only God by his mighty love and mercy can forgive us and change us. But that so often has not the slightest effect on our thinking and notion that somehow we must do something, that we must work something for our own salvation. And let me tell you something, friends, this is a condition not even cured by conversion. I can tell you straight that Christians, real believers, continue to struggle with this one, that even the best of Christians, the most knowledgeable of Christians, the most saintly of Christians, still cannot quite get out of their heads on odd occasions that somehow they were a little better than others, that somehow they believed something that others didn't, that somehow deep within them there was just a little bit something better than the next man. Something God spotted and said, I'll save this one. Look, they have a gentle and a kind disposition. Or this one seems to have just a little more understanding about me, so I will save that one. Or this one. This one has had to put up with so much in life, and well, really, they have not complained that much, so I will save such and such a one. But every real Christian believer knows that that is just not true. That there is nothing within us that can earn salvation, heaven, not of works, says the Bible. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Now, of course, the big question that begs itself is, why not? Why not? What's wrong with that? Why can't we earn our salvation? Cannot God do anything he wants? Can he not see us doing a little good, believing a few right things, having some sort of good character traits, and then say, on the basis of that, that he will give us an eternal reward? Why is the Bible, why is the Word of God, God himself, so inflexible with this not of works? Well, in answer to that question, we would first of all have to say, where would you draw the line? Where would you draw the line? What would be the minimum standard for God to say, that's enough, that's enough, for God to say that he will accept works of some kind? How will he? How can he make a difference between, say, two people? Suppose there are these two people. Suppose one believes a lot more, but has lived a wretched life, desolate, a bully, a cruel man. But at the same time, he has quite a lot of belief in God, and a lot of belief in God's person, and even what God has done, and even what God has done to save people. And then there's someone else, a complete out-and-out atheist, not the slightest acknowledgement of the God of the Bible. But look here, he's such a kind person, such a doer of good in society, such a generous person. Who is God going to choose to save? Or should he save both of them? Ah, that's the thing. If the spiritual religion of the Bible, of true Christianity, were a religion of works, then you would have an impossible task of deciding what was going to be enough of belief or character to get you safe to heaven. Well, plenty, of course, have thought about that and have come up with a perfect solution. Everyone is to be saved, even with Hitler. Well, somewhere in his youth and childhood, he must have done something good. Everyone passes the test of good works, but that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, not of works, not of works. And anyway, if we sincerely press the question, why not good works? Why not something good that we can do that will bring us into heaven, to provide a salvation of our own making? We quickly see that there is nothing, nothing much with which we can please God in these terms anyway. You see, our problem is not just doing a few good things, believing a few good truths about God and about ourselves. It's the age-old problem of not so much what we do, which is always a problem in itself, but a problem of what we are. What we are. The Bible says that we are off from God, that we are rebels against him. He made us and gave us all that we have in terms of our lives, our intelligence, our faculties, every needful thing for life in this world and to seek after him. We actually owe everything to God, our Maker. But we care not a fig for him. And we will live our own lives. And we will determine our own path in this world. We will decide for ourselves what will make us happy. And we will certainly not worship God and serve him or give him consideration, except perhaps for the odd debating of his existence and being on occasion. But what part does God really play in most people's lives? Will any assessment, will it show how very little involvement and certainly no devotion, no real devotion or thankfulness or submission to his demands in our lives? The Bible says we're rebels against our Maker. And that surely is the perfect description of men and women and youngsters in this world today. So this is our great problem. What we are. What we are. Not so much what we do. In any way, what we do is never very encouraging, is it? If we're thinking of what we do, will it be enough to give us an eternal reward? But what we are, well, that gives us not the slightest chance, does it, when we think what we are in God's sight? We're rebels. We're sinners. We're breakers of God's law. We are, in principle, opposed to God and what He wants. So, if anyone were to be saved, it could not possibly be by works, because we just could not be the people in and of ourselves who could be those that do what God wants. But if we come back to thinking, surely we can do a little. Surely we can perhaps do one thing that will sort of swing it with God. Put Him in a better attitude towards us. Make Him say, that's it. That's what I was looking for. That's what I wanted. Listen, I'll write the rest off. I know you cannot do any more. That will do. Come into my heaven. But what? What? What will it be? Not that God does say that, of course. He says, not of works. But is there anything? Well, if this is any fond hope of anyone, I can only tell you what the Bible says, what God's word says. Well, here it says, not of works. And elsewhere it says, not one thing, not one thing, not anything, not even half a thing, nothing at all will God accept as even the tiniest part payment in this business. God says, not of works, and that's it. But we're still left shaking our heads and saying, why? Why is that so? Let's suppose there were one thing we could do. Suppose we could come up with something, even a fraction of a matter that God would accept as a work, as something we do or something we believe, and then He will save us. Can we come up with something like that, or something whereby we were inclined towards something so that God would have to say, well, okay, we'll leave it at that. I'll accept that. That will do. Come into my heaven. Suppose we said, well, at least I believe in God. This is what I will do. I will believe there is a God. Doesn't seem much, I know. Doesn't affect my life or how I live or even affect much of my other thinking. But there you go. Once you do the trick, I believe in God. Well, the Bible tells us that the very devils believe in God and they tremble. But this is tiny. This is a fraction. This really is very small. To believe in a God, to give the nod to some deity, some sort of superior being or force. But what is that, friends? What is that? Is that some great achievement or some great advance on any other person's thought or belief? Is it not just the instinctive understanding of the mind anyway? How can it be thought of as a work to save us? Really, it's nothing at all. Not only is it a fraction, a tiny particle of I don't know what, but is that to distinguish the human race into two queues, as it were, leading to heaven and hell, where there's one queue that say, well, I've got some sort of belief in some sort of God, and the other say, no, I don't believe in God at all. Is that going to distinguish them between heaven and hell? Surely not. We would soon have an argument break out at the very entrance of eternity. If that were the case, it wouldn't be fair, would it? So many would say. But suppose we were to think of some good thing that we might do. Well, what might that be? Well, we would love our children, or put some money into a good cause, or be polite to our neighbours. But how can we even talk of such things in the same breath as eternal and a heavenly reward? Will that be on a par with those that have made the greatest sacrifices in this world for the benefit of others? We surely cannot hold up what really is to us just our natural love of family and friends and our ordinary love of peace between others around us and say, here are the works that will save us. We all know that's just too ridiculous for words. But were we to spend our lives doing good and helping others and giving away a fortune to relieve others, what about what we have been and what we have already done that has earned God's displeasure and condemnation? What about all our offences to God by our ignoring him and our not loving him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength? Where will the catch-up come from all this? We can be sure that a life spent from now on in perfection, as far as God is concerned, still cannot make up for all the sin that we have already accumulated in this life. Not of works, says the Bible. Not of works, says God. It cannot be done. Let us at least take God's word for it. Well, now, friends, I could go on like this, but I think I would be very tedious. Let me give you some better reasons why salvation cannot be of works. I've got about 7 reasons here. First, this. It sorts out. Because if, as we have seen, we cannot work out who does enough or just what is needed, this does it. You have a standard set by God himself where there can be no argument, no discussion, no leeway. It's just not of works. Nothing at all. God must save the sinner, and the sinner can have nothing whereby he says, I've done this or that. There is just nothing like that. It sorts people out. Those that know that they can do nothing to save themselves, and those that still think they can. But God still says, not of works. Here's another thing. Not of works. Why is that? Well, because we see it never works. No one ever had a changed life. No one ever had a converted life by thinking he was doing something to earn salvation. No one ever gets near the thing till they stop thinking in such a way. Till we come to Top Lady's words, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Not one of the world's religions ever changed a man's life so that they truly began to please God. And not any view of Christianity that has a person always thinking, I must do this, I must do that, I must say my prayers, I must go to worship. It does not do it. It does not result in salvation, in a changed life, a real relationship with God that brings real and deep worship from the heart. Salvation is not of works because it just doesn't work. Here's the third thing. Not of works. We will never see how sinful we were and are as long as we still keep seeking to do this or do that, to think that that is what God wants. We cannot be saved as long as we actually think we are doing something that God will smile upon and save us for. Well, we never will see how bad we are. We will never see our real sin. We will never understand what it is that God is so angry about and what required the death of his only son upon the cross. If we still think we can do something to please God, we will never see how bad we are. Until we do, we never will accept the terms of salvation, which is not of works. It's a fourth thing. And anyway, we would never know. We would never know if we've done enough. We would live in constant fear. Because if we think about salvation enough to think we must do something to get it, well, then we must be forever thinking, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Is it the right thing? Am I doing it sincerely enough? Am I doing it consistently? Am I doing it with enough energy? Am I doing it so God sees it? This is what drove Luther nuts. He's tried to do so many things to please God. He couldn't work out if he had done enough or if he had done it in the right way. Does this count? Or has this been wasted? Or has this been discounted because I didn't do it quite with the right attitude? This was Luther. At the beginning of the Reformation, trying to find salvation by works, and then going to Rome and walking up the stairs at the Lateran Church, there on his knees, where so many thousands had gone before, so that each step had the holes where the knees had gone, and going up those stairs saying, "I must do this, I must do this, this will earn me salvation, it will be part payment of that eternal reward," until he got to the top of those stairs and said, "What am I doing? What am I doing? The just shall live by faith. Salvation is by faith alone. Salvation is not of works." He saw it at last. Salvation is not of works, because we would never know if it is enough and of the right quality. We must be convinced that salvation is not of works, because if we don't, we will be in constant misery. Here's a fifth thing. To know and to understand that salvation is not of works makes us really look for salvation. Otherwise we would not. You see, the negative implies the positive. Salvation, eternal life, heaven to come, a change of life here, spiritual life, sins forgiven, pardon, and a new and vital relationship with God. Here we are told that none of these things can be earned. It is not of works. Then it must be by something else. Salvation is offered. Salvation is available. Salvation is a reality with God. It won't be by works, by anything that we might do, or even by some inclination of belief towards these things. But there is salvation. There is salvation from sin. And if we know it is not of works, and we really want it, that salvation and forgiveness of sins, we will begin a search. We will begin a search for it outside of ourselves, outside of what we do, outside of what we think we believe or our own merits. And we will search for salvation in God Himself, by what He does, what He has done, actually in the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross to save guilty sinners like us. If it truly dawns on us that salvation is not of works, then we will ask God what He has done to save anyone, and we will find some mighty answers to that in our Bibles. Friends, you can be sure of that. Sixthly, not of works. Salvation is not of works, so that all the glory may come to God alone. It magnifies His kindness, His mercy, His grace. God working towards us, the very opposite of what we deserve. It produces worship and love on our part. It never would if we thought for one moment that we did something to save ourselves. We would probably never love God with any real affection and devotion if we were able to put our salvation down to what we did, because we never would have needed the Lord, never would have seen that it was absolutely necessary for Him to do what He did on that cross of Calvary, and the agonizing death of the Saviour that would fade from view, because we would say, "What was that for? Wouldn't I have saved myself quite adequately and successfully? Why should the death of the Saviour really be anything more than a sort of gracious example of how to die, still loving those that have hurt us?" But if salvation is, and it certainly is, not of works, then we will just be amazed and wonder at the Saviour's death that did it all, where our works could not lift a little finger to help us. And we will love the God that did such a thing for us and saved us by the death of His dear Son in our place, taking the just deserts of our sin. God will have all the glory, and we will have not an atom of credit in the whole matter of our salvation. Seventhly, lastly, not of works. For that reason, there will be no boasting. That's why we have in our text, I've hardly referred to it because we know it off by heart already, but there, chapter 2 and verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasting. It will all be of grace, undeserved favour, God doing the exact opposite of what we deserve. Never in eternity Will a saved sinner have the slightest cause to drag up from the depths of his memory something, just something, some tiny snippet, some minuscule fragment of, this is what I did and it saved me? No, it was grace that led me to the Lamb and grace that set me free. Oh friends, whatever we think we are doing to earn salvation, forget it. Forget it. There is no way it will save us. If there is to be any saving of us, it's going to be not of works. There can be no boasting. Think about all the damage already done in our lives. What we need is not new attempts at some sort of good life. What we need is salvation that comes from God alone. We surely understand that salvation is so great a matter that it must be taken out of our hands. God is the only one that we can rely on to save us. We never could manage, let alone achieve, such a mighty matter. We must leave it to the Lord. What will earn salvation? Only what God has done by the cross, by the Lord Jesus Christ dying as a substitute in the place of sinners like us. God coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his human soul and body there, taking upon him the sins of all his people and dying in their place. The Bible does ask something of you, but it's not that that will save you. We must trust in this saving God and what he has done in the death of the Saviour on the cross for the likes of us. We must depend entirely upon it. We must trust that he can save us, that he will save us. If we see that there is not the slightest thing that we can do to save ourselves from the just punishment of God. Have you ever remembered a verse of scripture? Hope you have. I commend this one to you. Remember it. Not of works. This is your soul's destiny. You may depend upon it. Not of works. So I must seek this God for forgiveness and salvation. Not of works. I am entirely bankrupt of anything in myself that God could look upon and say, there, that's what I've been looking for. Come to my heaven. It is never going to be in the case like that, because salvation is not of works. Remember this, friends. Not of works. And as you stand before God on the judgment day, nothing will escape your lips of the sort of, Lord, this is what I did. Lord, this is what I believed. Look, Lord, at least I didn't do that. Or, look, Lord, see, I'll have at least practiced this. We will know that all such arguments will have God saying, but did not I tell you? Did I not tell you plainly and clearly that my heaven cannot be won by works? Did I not say to you, salvation is not of works? Oh, friends, if I were a shouter, I would shout this to you now, not as works, as loudly as I could. But I think we'd better pray instead. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh Lord, look at our lives. We have nothing, nothing to bring. We simply cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done to bring us our soul's salvation. And so, Lord, come and take us to thyself as we repent of our sin and as we ask that thou help us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved, knowing that there is nothing that we could do, that salvation is not of works. Help us now. We ask it for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.